Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best. Let's go! Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
0-2 with two outs. Bases full of Marlins. He comes set. And the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, and he got him. Strikeout of Miguel Rojas will end this game. And Sir Anthony Dominguez, well, he made it interesting. But the Phils able to hold on and get the win here tonight. His fourth save of the season. And the Phillies, a victory tonight over the Marlins 2-1.
Well, thank you, Greg Murphy. They had him all the way. Not a moment in doubt last night as Sir Anthony loads the bases in the ninth inning and then gets out of it, as you see, with the strikeout. Good morning, everybody. I'm Glenn Mack. Now, good morning, Ricky Ricardo.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you? I've been looking forward to this, my friend.
Thank you. I'm doing fine, pal. You and I spoke last night, and I don't think – well, let me put it this way. You and I have done – beer shows together. You've been nice enough to be a guest on my beer TV and podcast, but we've never done a regular shift together. Am I right?
No. It's been a long time coming. We've spoken about doing this at some point, but it's finally here. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. As I said, it's a lot to talk about. Although, you know, we're in that time of year where we're in kind of that sports purgatory, but there's still lots to talk about. So for the next 3 hours, folks, buckle up and let's have a little fun.
All right, let us start. We'll start with the Phillies. As you said, a lot to talk about. Some good guests today. And let's start with the highlight. Brian Westbrook is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll explain what that's about to you. But last night, Phillies end their four-game losing streak. They beat the best pitcher in baseball, Sandy Alcantara, who, by the way, was pretty good. But the key to the game, Rick, is that Kyle Gibson hung in there. You know, the Phils are down 1-0, although it felt like about 6-0. And Kyle Gibson, who's been slumping, really got back on track. And to me, that was kind of the key to the game.
Big start for Gibson. And the new Miami Stadium. Not the old, you know, where they used to play in the old football stadium.
I missed that big statue, whatever you call that thing, out in the outfield.
Land Shark. I had about 10 different names over.
No. I'm talking about the fountain with the dolphins.
Oh, you mean the piece of art?
Well, art is loosely calling. I wouldn't call it that, but yes, I miss seeing that.
That was removed by the ex-CEO, Derek Jeter.
But that
place has been a house of horrors, as you know, Glenn, for the Phillies. So you kind of expected something to go wrong last night, but Gibson was dynamite against Sandy Alcantara, who will probably be, if Kershaw who had a perfect game going into the eighth last night against the Angels, if Kershaw is the opener for the National League in the All-Star game on Tuesday, you would think that Alcantara might come in right after Clayton Kershaw. He's that good as far as National League starting pitchers are concerned. So that's a huge win last night. The ironic thing is that it's JT Realmuto.
Let me tee this up, Rick.
Yep.
Because as you say, they're down 1-0, and you kind of said what happened, but let's play it.
Bill Strick still trying to push one across here in the seventh. The 1-2 pitch, ground ball, hard hit, and past the diving third baseman Anderson. That will score Hall, and it goes all the way back to the wall. So JT Realmuto cruises into second. He's got himself a double. It was just past Anderson, who may have had a chance at it, but it would have been one heck of a play.
As you say, that was the big hit, and he had a big game with three hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you used the word ironic a moment ago. Certainly comes after the controversy. So let me run this by you and see how you feel about it.
All right.
See if we feel the same. Because everybody knows what happened last week when it was disclosed that he could not travel to Toronto with the Phillies because he had not been vaccinated, and he talked about it last week. And listen, at this point, people are vaccinated or not, and I have my own opinions on it. You do. I don't even think that's relevant anymore because nobody's mind is changing. But where he stepped in it is when he talked about, well, I have to give up a little bit of salary, which came out to $263, which in nobody else's world counts as a little bit. He did try to walk it back. Well, I don't want to say. He walked it back last night. I'm going to read you his quotes. You tell me what you think. He said, "I wish I hadn't used the words little bit. When the thought little came into my mind, it was over the two games compared to the 162-game season, not the amount of money. I didn't mean it to come out that way. My logic for saying it was about the games, not the money. Hey, I'm from Oklahoma. I was raised on zero money. My family made no money till me, so I know how much money that is I forfeited. I know it's a lot of money. My point was money was not going to make the decision for me." Does that work for you?
263 G's, huh?
Yeah.
I think 263 G's to the blue-collar average fan that goes to Citizens Bank Park, that's a loyal Phillies fan. Glenn, is it safe for me to say that that might be, maybe for some families, 3 years worth of
more
income?
More,
or maybe
the average
more?
I think the average family income in Philadelphia is like $50,000. So it's theoretically 5 years for a lot of
people.
So
you're talking between 4 and 5 years worth of the average fan's annual income. So to put the term little bit of money, it just sounds so pompous to me. That's the first thing that grabbed me when I first, heard those comments. And coming from a guy like Realmuto, who his persona, Glenn, and do we really know JT Realmuto? Is there much more beyond what we see as the very quiet, go about his business type of guy that that at least we see on the surface? So this was really the first time we've scratched the surface of a guy like Realmuto a little bit, and what came out still is the stench is still hanging around.
Is that okay? Well, then you and I view it a little bit differently because he stepped. You mentioned the stench, whatever. He stepped in it. We both know the metaphor we're working on here, right? He clearly stepped in it, and it was so ill-conceived, and it was so I don't want to say hurtful because nobody was hurt, but it's really bad optics for a guy like that to talk about a little bit of money. That said, he tried to apologize last night, and Rick, I don't know what more I can ask of the guy. I'm not about holding grudges. You think it was not sufficient?
Whether it was sufficient or not, he hit a nerve when it comes to, especially during these days, we're living in hard times, Glenn. So for that fan who's saving money up to take his family of four to a game and watch a team that is battling for a playoff spot, that has taken on the personality of the managers, a lot of good things that have come of the post-Girardi Philadelphia Phillies. So I maybe forgive isn't the word I'm looking for. Look, he did his part last night to win the game, although I think he has underproduced for the kind of contract that he signed. And then moving forward, that's going to be an albatross at some point for the organization. It's a lot of money for a guy who's maybe not as good as we all thought he was. But I'm not looking for an apology. If he's going to walk it back with a few more games where you contribute to wins. That's going to be the best way he can clean this mess.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think more people are probably see this the way you do than I do. I mean, Howard just got a couple hours out of righteous indignation there, and I think most of the people called agreed with him. And I also think, as you're kind of alluding, the amount of forgiveness depends on how well he plays. You know, that 698 OPS, as we're now more than halfway through the season, and the defense that isn't as good as we thought it should be, it ain't going to help him. Anyway, I'm of the mind to kind of let it go, but I imagine a lot of people are not. And Rick, I'm going to try to do this really quick, and feel free to say whatever you want. It is just a shame to me that everything is political these days. People come to the station by and large to get away from politics, and everything from, I mean, sports becomes politics when it's this, when the Flyers trade for a guy who's made political waves. Healthcare is about politics. Yesterday, if you're following the news yesterday, South Philly cheesesteak institutions became about politics. It's that's it. That's all I got to say on that.
Well, we agree there. This is a place where you come to get away from the craziness.
But you can't, sometimes, right?
Yeah, it's hard to escape
it. It's everybody's on their team. It's blue, it's red, and everything relates to politics. All right.
I'll tell you one thing, Len.
Yeah.
I remember a time in this country where it didn't matter where your politics landed. We all, some way, somehow, ended in the... I'm more of the Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan, whether we disagree politically during the day, let's have a cold beer.
That's right. Right?
At the end of the day, that's where I fall.
I think you and I should take that literally.
There you go.
Okay. I'm watching the game last night, and I'm watching Mickey Moniak be so outmatched, Ricky.
Yeah, overmatched, absolutely.
And I ran the numbers this morning. The Phillies have had five guys this year who have played center field. Odubel Herrera, Moniak, Matt Vierling, Roman Quinn, lest you forget, and Mercado, who played a game, so I don't know that he counts. But if you take those five guys, they are a combined 212 batting average with just 33 RBIs in 392 at-bats. Rick, they haven't had a center fielder since Victorino.
Correct.
Trade deadline's coming up. When you and I did a little pregame talk last night, we said let's talk about some trades. That's my top priority for the Phils. I don't know if that's yours, or what do you think they ought to be looking at?
Here's the guy I'd love to see roaming center field for the Phillies. And I choose this particular player because you're going to need a guy who can be as close, and you're not going to get it, but as close to a Gary Maddux as possible. And what I mean by that is to help out your slightly inferior defensive corner outfielders by covering as much ground into both gaps, into left center and right center.
As Ray Didinger originally wrote, the line has been attributed to others, but it was Ray Didinger's. Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. The rest is covered by Gary Maddux.
Exactly.
And you're looking for a guy who can at least cover a couple of the Great Lakes.
The closest thing out there to me that can be had is Michael A. Taylor, who is now with the Kansas City Royals. Ooh. We saw plenty of him with the Washington Nationals. He's a decent right-handed bat with a little pop, but he is going to help both Schwarber and Castellanos immensely with the way he can cover ground in both left center and right center. And for what the Phillies have to offer, and let's be honest, Glenn, they don't have a lot in the cupboard to be able to offer another team. And for the Royals, to make a deal right now, you really just have to tickle them a little bit. You don't have to overwhelm them. Just tickle them a little bit. But that would be a guy who is not going to cost you a lot of money, who is a dynamite defensive player, right-handed pop, some speed.
That's a great name.
And a guy that knows the National League East from his years with the Nets.
I won a gold glove for the Royals last year.
Yes, he did.
I had not thought of that name because everybody always says, oh, Benintendi, you should go for Benintendi. And Benintendi, to me, is just another corner, decent, average corner outfielder.
And he's not vaccinated either, Benintendi. By the way.
Well, they better not play Kansas City. They better not play Toronto in the World Series. You know what? That's going to be – well, I don't think Toronto's getting to the World Series, but if they were, that would be a huge issue. I like that, Michael. I had not thought of him.
And that's the
not,
guy.
You know, I'm looking at all the names and so on. I mean, he's not a great offensive player, but you don't need that, man. You bat him – he's not horrible. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He can steal a base – he'll hit 10 home runs a year, but boy, he is. He's a terrific gold glove outfielder. That's a really good name.
And, you know, like I said, with what the Phillies will have to give up, he's the perfect guy. Kansas City, like I said, is not going to demand much for him. They've got some young players that they want to bring up and take a look at for a couple of months. So by August 2nd, I'd love to see Michael A. Taylor in the Phillies outfield.
I like that. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Real quickly, you are one of my favorite baseball guys. You are the Spanish language broadcaster for the New York Yankees. Had a little Yankees Red Sox action last night.
Oh,
man, you are.
God.
You're working triple shifts these days.
4-hour game again last night.
Oh, dude, that's who would have thought? Okay. So that may lead to what I want to ask you, and I'll ask our callers too, 215-592-9494. Ricky Ricardo, a guy whose baseball opinion I very much trust. What's the biggest problem with baseball these days?
It reared its ugly head again last night. And as it was happening, the first person that came to my mind was you and this conversation this morning. I think I mentioned it to you when we spoke yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But our old buddy Aaron Boone, who's the manager of the Yankees, who grew up in the clubhouse area of the Vet. Aaron, who is as big an Eagle fan as you're going to find, son of the great Bob Boone, need I say more. But again last night, Glenn, again, he got ejected. And remember, Aaron Boone has a pacemaker.
Pacemaker, yeah, installed.
All right? And he blew his lid again at the home plate umpire over the strike zone. I've watched this progress all year long. I think one of the major problems baseball has right now is the inconsistency of the umpires in general. Look, the mess gets cleaned up around the bases when they go to replay, okay? And I'm watching every time there's an appeal, 9 out of 10 times it gets overturned, okay? There is a blatant mistake. But the strike zone for different hitters, different umpires, is out of control. I think, Glenn, it is time for the electronic strike zone. We have the technology. Mm-hmm. Use it. The technology is making the fact that we have it, and you see in that little square box.
Well, that's part of the problem.
There you go.
The little square box is what makes it even worse because now everybody sees every
mistake. Everybody sees the mistake that the umpire is making. And last night, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are 6'7", 6'8", whatever they might be. The strike zone is different for a guy like that as compared to a Jose Altuve or somebody more average height in the middle. And I've seen this just all year long, game after game after game, with these managers, not only Aaron, it's been across the board, but managers getting upset, hitters getting upset at the home plate umpire. They step out, they look at the, you know, it delays the game even more. If you're looking at pace of play, I think it's time to take the strike zone out of the hands of the home plate umpire. Look, he's still going to be there. There's not going to be a loss of jobs. The union's not going to lose.
There are plays at the plate. I get it. Hey, you know what? I don't disagree. And I think it's a problem in all the sports. And the reason it's more of a problem in all the sports is the technology is so good that the camera catches all the mistakes. That's why it's not that the officiating is worse. I mean, maybe it is because of egos and so on. But I generally think what it all relates to is we at home watching on TV can see better when it's a ball or a strike than the ump. We can see in football when a receiver steps out of bounds easier than the guy in the field. We see it in super slow motion in the NBA when a guy gets hacked. It's why umpiring officiating in all leagues is worse, and it's why all the leagues have to follow that. Let me sneak in. Yeah, go ahead.
We saw Doug Harvey, Harry Wendelstedt, Eric Gregg, some of the great umpires that you and I grew up on, we don't know how good they were at calling balls and strikes because there was no box.
Yeah.
And some of those guys were considered.
You might leave Eric Gregg out of that.
Well, you probably are.
let's sneak in Rick in West Philly. You're on with Ricky Ricardo and Glenn Macnow. Hey, Rick. Rick, you with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, man. I don't understand if the problem is with the Jason Mitchell thing, because my thing is this: to him, it is a little bit of money. I understand that. It doesn't bother me. So I'm trying to figure out.
Why. You're more magnanimous than the entire rest of the world.
Yeah, well, that's because the rest of the world is probably jealous because he's making this type of money.
Well, the rest of the world is jealous because they believe they pay his salary, and therefore they don't want to be reminded that.
Yeah, don't rub that in my face.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, it doesn't. Why does it bother y'all? Because y'all have to buy the tickets.
Okay, this is not an argument I really want to have with you. You can feel however you want on that. That's up to you. Coming up, by the way, let me tee up a little bit more of the show because we got a lot of good stuff coming up. As I said. We're going to be joined at 11 o'clock. Brian Westbrook has written a book along with our mutual pal, Leslie Van Arsdale, a local TV vet, children's book. And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to, of course, take the opportunity to discuss with Brian what he thinks about the Eagles right now. We're also going to be joined at noon by Anthony Sanfilippo, who really does the best Flyers coverage out there of anybody these days. His Snow the Goalie podcast is an essential. And I just want to say, because I love hockey and I follow this stuff and I feel for these fans. And if you look at what the Flyers have done since April, Rick.
It's a joke.
I mean, I don't know that I want to go through the whole checklist. And some of them had to trade Giroux, but then the season ends and they trade for Tony DeAngelo this week and they buy out Lindblom and they signed the worst forward in hockey to a 4-year deal and they pass on Gaudreau. I guess I buried the lead there. And it's almost like they're sitting around in an office every day, the general manager, and saying, how can I alienate the fan base? So you and I will express our sympathy to the Flyers fans, and we will get righteous outrage as the show goes up.
Absolutely.
215-592-9494. Coming up, maybe one of the greats of the greats may have had his last moment at a huge tournament yesterday. We will talk about that. 215-592-9494. With Ricky Ricardo, I'm Glenn Macnow. Saturday morning on 94 WIP.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
P. The emotion. Nice. Clear. He's been a great champion, hasn't he? He is a great champion.
Well, that ovation went on for about 2 minutes yesterday. That's Tiger Woods walking over that landmark bridge at St. Andrews at 18. Start of the day at 6 over, finished the second round at 9 over. Tears rolling down his cheeks as that applause engulfs him. It was a very moving moment to me, Rick.
Yeah.
And it was also kind of the... I don't want to say the guy played too long, but you know, like, that's it, right? That's the swan song?
It reminds you of that very same walk with Nicklaus, with Palmer, and now with Tiger Woods. You know, how long is too long? Glenn, he was in pain. It's not just the fact that, that the years are going by.
Yeah.
You know,
his aging was compounded by his injuries.
Absolutely. The traffic accident, took whatever comeback may have been in him. I think it's taken that away. But to watch, and then to listen to the words yesterday, you know, St. Andrews is probably, after Augusta, is probably Woods' second favorite course in the world.
Won it twice there, right?
Yes.
2005, something like that. Yeah.
He loves that place. And like you said, the warmth of the ovation, but simply from an athlete's point of view, you know, to know, I mean, he didn't miss the cut by a stroke or two, Glenn.
No.
I mean, you just mentioned it, 9 over. Yeah. Well, the leaders are, what, 13 under? Something like that?
Something, yeah, yeah.
And, double digits.
We're going to see the same thing, more or less, this week when Albert Pujols makes his appearance in the home run derby, which is whatever, a little awkward, I think. He's got 6 home runs this year. But in the All-Star game, and it's the same kind of thing where, Rick, I don't begrudge a guy for staying. There's a great line that Jim Boughton once had. I don't know if it was in Ball 4 or one of his other books, but he said, "All those years I felt that I was gripping the baseball. At the end, I realized it was the other way around."
Yeah.
It's if I could do that, right? If you had that skill to be playing at St. Andrews, right? To be playing in front of a crowd of people in Major League Baseball, to be hitting, what does he have, 685?
85, yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, you don't want to let go of that until you have to, right?
It's hard. It's got to be tremendously difficult. And I've gotten to know Albert Pujols a little bit over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is back with the Cardinals. A lot of people were critical of him when he signed that big money deal. And how foolish does that look? The deal that, yeah, Artie Moreno and the Los Angeles Angels, yeah, signed him to. They paid him for what he did.
Exactly.
For the Cardinals all those,
yes,
years. But he is back with the team, you know, from which he first got to the major leagues and became the great Albert Pujols. And it's symbolic, I think, Glenn, that he is in the home run derby. He is, of the active players, obviously number one with 685. Everyone else is retired or no longer with us on that list. But it's almost the passing of the torch, because you've got a young Dominican kid in the Seattle center fielder, Julio Rodriguez, that's competing against him in this competition on Monday night. So it's really the old guard passing the torch to the new guard. You know, how do you say no to the home run derby to a guy that has 685 runs?
And I think that, listen, I don't like Rob Manfred at all, but when he put him in the All-Star game.
Yeah, along with Cabrera.
Yeah, along with Cabrera, right? That's a career thing. Let me give you 3 amazing Albert Pujols stats. This is courtesy of a friend of mine, Ryan Spader, who's on Twitter as the Ace of Spader. And he's just a stats guy, Rick. You should follow him.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, Albert Pujol has a hit off of 10% of all of the players in Major League history ever to throw a pitch.
Wow. 10%?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes. Two, Albert Pujol, in his best offensive season, Ken Griffey had an OPS that was 71% above the league average, right? Albert Pujol, in his first 10 seasons with St. Louis, was 72% over a course of a decade.
Wow.
Number three, this one's not so positive, but Albert Pujols could have gone 0 for 598 when he left St. Louis for L.A. and still had a career batting average over 300. And he's now at 296.
That's amazing.
Which kind of reflects your Artie Moreno points. But I get it. Listen, I get that guys can't give up. I do. I don't begrudge it.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
It's public knowledge. I'm not breaking any news here. He went through a much publicized divorce during the lockout. Mm-hmm. It came to light after many, many years of marriage.
Yep.
You know, it could it be to a certain point that baseball is, and hanging on for one more year is maybe his way of dealing with something?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me another way. I know some guys who have decided not to retire because they're paying off divorces. I thought that's what you were saying. It was a money thing. I don't know. Maybe.
I think he's got enough money to settle with her.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Again, for whatever reason, if you can do it and you don't want to give it up, I get it. Let's grab a call or two. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on with Ricky Ricardo and Glenn Mack now. Good morning. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Hey, yeah, we got you.
Hi, Mike. Okay, the last time I talked to you, Glenn, was about those great players, Michael Martinez and Delmon Young.
You're making a list of my least favorite Phillies.
I have a few things to say about where baseball is going. First, with the automated strike zone, I have a question. Altuve and Aaron Judge have the same strike zone. Hello?
Rick, did you get that? His phone is getting weird. I got to let him go. But he basically said, with the automated strike zone, how do you account for the disparity of size, and specifically Aaron Judge?
From what I'm told, the technology is much like the shot thing that they have in tennis, which adjusts itself to the batter in his crouch. So, no, it's obvious. Look, it's going to be the letters to the knees. It's what it's supposed to be, Glenn. From the letters to the knees, corner to corner of the plate. Now, the electronic strike zone will adjust, the framing of the strike zone will adjust once the batter is in his stance, in his whatever, if it's a crouch, whatever it may be. All you need is a split second when he is in that hitting position. The strike zone will be created by the electronic device. So, no, it obviously it's going to be different from the physical standpoint of an Aaron Judge as compared to a Jose Altuve. But in theory, the strike zone is the same. It's from the letters to the knees, corner to corner on the plate.
I'm assuming it uses a laser to quickly catch, you know, what is it now? I mean, it used to be the armpits. What is it now? The letters? The waist?
The letters.
What is really the top of the strike zone?
You figure the top of the letters of the uniform,
that,
right to the knees.
Okay, and it seems... That doesn't seem hard to me. Let's go to Rob in Doylestown. Morning, Rob.
Morning, gentlemen. Ricky, we spoke about this on the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, Gene Walk wore number 4. But I got a feeling that Derek Call is going to develop into a very productive late bloomer who gets it all together just when the Phillies lose Harper. I really like the kid. I think he's got the right disposition for the town. I'd just put him at first and let him play.
I'd bet against it. I hope I'm wrong, and he got another nice hit last night. He is a guy who came up. He turns 27 next week. I would go to expert witness Ricky Ricardo and ask you, Rick, generally, what is the success rate of prospects who break into the major leagues around age 27?
That's a good question. In this particular case, in general, It's not a very high percentage. But here's my question here, and I'll ask both you guys. I'm watching a lot of Hall's at-bats on an iPad as I'm calling a game, okay? Yeah. Is he this team's Darren Ruff?
As in Darren Ruff with the Phillies or Darren Ruff with the Giants?
No, as in Darren Ruff with the Phillies.
Yeah, maybe, because Darren Ruff was a flash in the pan.
Well, that's what I think is...
He's still playing.
Yeah, okay. So if that, and I actually like that comparison. And so, Rob, if he's Darren Ruff, what he is to me is a marginal major league guy who you have on the bench, and every once in a while you platoon him, and he'll come up with an occasional big hit. Do you see him as more than that?
I do, yes. Okay. I think he's going to develop.
I see a lot of Mike Epstein, Don Mincher, Jim Spencer.
You're going Norm, way back in the day.
Norm Cash.
Wow. Oh, I love Norm Cash.
Yeah.
Wow. That's you're going back in time there,
well,
my friend.
I mean, those are the kind of guys that I kind of envision when I see him. Yeah, you know, that occasional pop from the
Walt,
left side.
Walt Droppo unavailable?
That's a little before my time.
Yeah, well, as long as we're going back.
Ed Cranepool.
Who was the original Met, right?
Yes.
They hung around forever. Well, there you go. You know what? Good recitation of old names. Greg in the Northeast is on with Ricky and Glenn. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Jay. Ricky, how you doing, guys?
Thank you, buddy,
for taking my call. Appreciate it. I think I have a really good take on the Flyers, to be honest. Right now, the Flyers haven't been in a long time a blue-collar fan base. It's organizational. It's for organizations. Like, I want to know how many businesses own seats compared to the average family.
Well, hockey is a high-end ticket, it is everywhere, because hockey doesn't get the TV contracts that the other sports get.
No, I mean, I understand that. But and then, like, okay, here we are. Hextall, he got us out of the cap hell from Holmgren, the contracts he gave out. And now we're right back in it with Fletcher, with Hayes and Ellis. And JVR, where the one time that, well, he even said they want to be, they need high-end talent, want to be contenders sooner rather than later. Yet the one player that was high-end talent, he didn't go after. Now, you signed five free agents.
What does that have to do with the fan base, the being an affluent fan base?
Oh, that was my first thing. I just don't think that the Flyers are any longer a blue-collar, like, hard-working fan base. It's more...
I disagree with hard-working. You think because people make money, they don't work hard?
No. I'm saying I believe that the fans that are actually at the game are less likely to be the blue-collar Philadelphia fan base that more than they're just tickets giving out.
Okay, this is my thought, and thanks for the call. My thought on overall, Philadelphia is not the blue-collar town it used to be. Philadelphia, the fan base is blue-collar in terms of its attitude. We expect our players to be blue-collar. This city, the economics of this city are far less blue-collar than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I think, and Rick earlier said, it's a blue-collar town. I'm not speaking for you, Rick, but to me, when we say that, it's not that the average guy wakes up in the morning, gets a lunch pail, and punches in and works a line for 9 hours. It's that is the attitude we have ingrained in us as a city.
Correct. I think the economics, it's not a factory, you know, ridden town. It's not, as you mentioned, it's not what it was 20, 30, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, it's not steel mills anymore.
Right.
Things have evolved, but the mentality ingrained in our area is a blue-collar mentality of hard work and an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. You know, that still exists. Now, does that fan go to NHL hockey, not just in Philadelphia, anywhere around the country or in Canada? That's a completely different question that could be debated. But, the attitude is what I agree with you about there, Glenn.
215-592-9494. Ricky Ricardo, Glenn Mack now. Brian Westbrook coming up at 11 right here on 94 WIP.
Those would be the Delphonics.
It would be. And that lead singer there, the falsetto, is William Poogie Hart. Lead singer, songwriter behind that group and the Philadelphia Sound that was so big back in the 70s, passed away on Thursday at age 77. I like that. There's so many great groups that came out of Philadelphia. Oh, and listen, you lived this life. You and I want to get to that in a minute. But when I saw he passed away and I'm planning the show and I realize I'm working with you, and I mean, I wanted to do a little tribute, and having you here made it even more poignant. But I think of, and fill in the gaps for me, I think of the Roots, Hall & Oates, Jim Croce, he's going back a ways, Boys to Men, not my favorite, but they were big, Joan Jett, the Spinners, the OJs, Archie Bell and the Drells. Who am I leaving out here?
Well, Gamble and Huff.
Gamble and Huff, yeah, great.
They're the kings.
Sure.
Okay, yep. Those are the kings. The TSOP.
Yeah.
TSOP, the Sound of Philadelphia. You're talking about an era, not a year or two. Glenn, it was an I played, for those that don't know, I was in. I have a music background. My radio background is music.
Ricky has several careers, including, I mean, those pipes are just great. So you do commercial work.
Lots of
But you've done a lot of music work, including not just on the air, but we told the stories about you traveled with Rick James back in the day.
Oh, Prince, Rick James, the Tramps, Earl Young and the Tramps. This is pure Philadelphia. There was an era where the greatest R&B / dance music created anywhere in the world was coming out of the city of Philadelphia. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, I mentioned the Tramps. You know, everything that came out of the Sound of Philadelphia, the Gamble and Huff Studios. Going back to the Delphonics, who then split up in 75, but they had Tom Bell, one of the great songwriters of all time, as part of that group. Musically, Philadelphia was the epicenter. Vince Montana, the Soul Soul Orchestra, for those that remember the great disco days and fascinating rhythms in the city of Philadelphia. For years, you know, and then after that, you know, you've got other, you mentioned the Roots, but even into the hip-hop era, it's not as strong as it used to be. But that was a good...
It was a distinct sound.
Yes.
Right? As you say, like... I loved Hall & Oates, who are a Philadelphia group, okay?
Yeah. Great blue-eyed soul.
Yeah, you know what? Great way to put it. And Jim Croce was that great songwriter who died. You know, he died at age, I think, 28? Like, so damn
Much
young.
Too young, yeah.
Yeah, but all those groups that you said, the Spinners, the Stylistics, Archie Bell and the Drells, Harold Melvin, the Blue Notes, all those, it was a sound. It was a movement. And by the way, what I didn't know, Rick, is that not only did you have career... playing it, or, you know, being part of it, but you actually were in the forefront that you're a singer. Let's take a listen.
Chicago, Chicago, hey! It's my kind of town when they lose. Cuando pierden, Chicago.
You like that, eh?
Was that the double doink?
That was No Señor. Yeah, that was our buddy Cody Parkey.
God, what a great day that was.
Yeah, they had to escort me out of Soldier Field. They wanted to kill me that day. Are you kidding me?
We love you for it. So you did travel, and you told me yesterday, like, you had a story or two about...
I don't know how many I can, you know...
Yeah, I know there's some you can't tell. any you can share?
Look, you know, the first time I ever got to Philadelphia was courtesy of Gamble and Huff, and it was to watch the Sixers as part of the sweep. And I was a very, very young... Let me make this very clear. I was very young. I believe I was 19? And I was on the radio in New York and enjoying some success at the number one rated station in New York at the time. But there was no basketball success in New York. It still isn't. Me being an NBA fan at the time, there was a car that was sent to pick us up in Manhattan, me and the program director at the time, Frankie Crocker, courtesy of the good folks at TSOP and the Sound of Philadelphia. And we went down the turnpike to the Spectrum to watch the NBA Finals between the Sixers and the Los Angeles Lakers. Some of the greatest times of my life, okay, were connected to all that music. that was produced out of Philadelphia. You know, there was plenty that went around, if you know what I mean, Glenn. There was plenty for everyone back in those days. All right.
And yeah, it was a different era. Yeah.
And when guys like Teddy Pendergrass would come up to Studio 54 in New York City, and you would see, the
mob. I saw
mob
that movie, yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you use your imagination from there, okay?
What a great, rich life you've had, man.
It's been fun. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you have hair back then?
Plenty of it.
Major hair?
Oh, yeah.
I used to have, like, what was affectionately known as the Jufro going.
Oh, I had that. Yeah. I had that whole Don Sutton look. You know?
All right, I'll make you a deal. Not publicly, but I will send you a picture of me with hair if you send me a picture of you.
I've got one right on my phone that
I'll Okay, send. Great. Yeah. All right, and the next break we'll do that and we can compare notes.
Put them on Twitter.
I would be willing if Rick is willing.
I got no issue with it. It's all part of the reality of my life, baby.
All right, hold on. Let's get Neil in the Northeast. You're on with Ricky and Glenn. Hey, Neil.
Hey. Well, you got to obviously put Dick Clark in it with American Bandstand in Philly, you know, too.
Of course.
And of course, Patti LaBelle, Eddie Fisher, Marian Anderson.
Oh, you're going into a whole different realm of it, but that's sure all valid.
Yeah. Yeah, some great, yeah. And like Ricky, like you said, Gamble and Huff, boy, they did some great songs, you know, like that. And Teddy Pendergrass, too, you know, like, as well. So, Philadelphia's been...
legendary. It's legendary.
What?
Yep.
It's a legendary music town, all those names you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Neil, what do you got in the Phils?
Well, Ricky and Glenn, I wonder what you think the likelihood of them making a deal. Maybe Painter or Hop, you know, like, for a picture... Possibly an outfielder, too, to maybe help him offensively.
Well, we talked about it earlier, and we didn't actually get into a pitcher, but I would not mind if they particularly went after a closer. I think you have two really good pitchers at the top of the rotation. If Gibson can find himself.
Yeah, well, Gibson has actually the last two times.
Absolutely.
What he did yesterday and against
I don't really trust the closer at this point. But Rick mentioned a very smart idea for center field, and that is?
Michael A. Taylor from the Kansas City Royals.
Oh, yeah.
Neil seems underwhelmed.
Taylor has the speed and the athleticism and could steal some bases, too. So, I think offensively he would help them and defensively.
Yeah. You know, and remember, they don't have much in the cupboard to trade. If you're looking for a top-notch closer, who are you going to give up to get this closer? You're not going to steal one.
I know. I'm hoping there's somebody who's on a one-year deal.
It's a seller's market this year. There's not a lot of pitching out there.
No, I know that. And there's a lot of teams that are in part because they added the wild card team. And part, like, I was looking last week, like, you know, the Orioles have some guys you could go for, right? And then all of a sudden the Orioles win, what, 9 out of 10, and they're at 500?
They won 10 straight, and they're a 500 team, and they're only, what, a couple of games out of the last wild card
team. Right, so they can't be sellers. So I think that it plays into the fact that if you are one of those sellers, the Royals you mentioned, the Nationals, you know, just one of those really bad teams, you will very much be able to, drive the market.
Absolutely. I don't know if the Phillies have enough. I mean, you know, you're not going to give up someone that's in your everyday lineup. I keep hearing, well, Rhys Hoskins. No, you're not going to give up Rhys Hoskins. Number one, who's going to?
Well, the guy I told you earlier, Derek Hall. There's your guy.
You're not getting anything top notch for Derek Hall. No, it's not going to happen.
No. He's saying Derek Hall is going to play the position.
Oh, well, No. Let me just go. I agree with you, Glenn. No. No.
All right, Rick. You sent me a picture of yourself. Hold on, let me find
it. I'm right in the middle there.
Yeah, I know. So here's the deal. You know what? You're a fine-looking young man there. Who are all those celebrities around you?
Who's that would have been the staff of the radio station. That was the WBLS staff in the early 80s.
All right. So, Kyle, I'm going to find a picture of me and send it to you. And if you, Kyle, are able to kind of edit these down so it takes out most of the other people.
Sure.
And you can put them on Twitter. We don't need a Twitter poll because we're going to both look ridiculous.
Oh, come on. Do a Twitter poll.
That says what? Who wore it better?
Who's sexier? Yeah.
No. Like that ain't happening. Rick wins, okay? I concede on that one. But you can put them up and we can embarrass ourselves. I have a picture of me when I was 21 years old that I can send you with the big glasses and the whole shebang. I'll get that going. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, really nice project. Brian Westbrook, who's, you know, the terrific, terrific player for the Eagles. And Leslie Van Arsdale, who you and I both know through her
Absolutely.
TV work.
Pros
team. Yeah, a pros pro. Team together to write a children's book. We're going to talk to them about that. Get Brian to talk a little bit about the Eagles next. Ricky Ricardo and Glenn Mack now. Two bald guys. There you go. A little more of the Delphonics as we go out.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Those would be the Delphonics.
It would be. And that lead singer there, the falsetto, is William Poogie Hart. Lead singer, songwriter, behind that group and the Philadelphia Sound that was so big back in the 70s, passed away on Thursday at age 77. I like that. There are so many great groups that came out of Philadelphia. And listen, you lived this life. You and I want to get to that in a minute. But when I saw he passed away and I'm planning the show and I realize I'm working with you, and I mean, I wanted to do a little tribute, and having you here made it even more poignant. But I think of, and fill in the gaps for me, I think of the Roots, Hall & Oates, Jim Croce, he's going back a ways, Boys to Men, not my favorite, but they were big, Joan Jett, the Spinners. The OJs, Archie Bell and the Drells. Who am I leaving out here?
Well, Gamble and Huff.
Gamble and Huff. Yeah, great.
They're the kings.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Were the kings. The TSOP.
Yeah.
TSOP, the Sound of Philadelphia. You're talking about an era, not a year or two. Glenn, it was an era. I played, for those that don't know, I have a music background. My radio background is music.
Ricky has several careers, including, I mean, those pipes are just great. So you do commercial work.
Lots of
But you've done a lot of music work, including not just on the air, but we told the stories about you traveled with Rick James back in the day.
Oh, Prince, Rick James. The Tramps, Earl Young and the Tramps. This is pure Philadelphia. There was an era where the greatest R&B / dance music created anywhere in the world was coming out of the city of Philadelphia. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, I mentioned the Tramps. You know, everything that came out of the Sound of Philadelphia, the Gamble and Huff Studios, going back to the Delphonics, who then split up in 75, but they had Tom Bell, one of the great songwriters of all time, as part of that group. Musically, Philadelphia was the epicenter. Vince Montana, the Soul Soul Orchestra, for those that remember the great disco days and fascinating rhythms in the city of Philadelphia. For years, you know, and then after that, you know, you've got other, you mentioned the Roots, but even into the hip hop era, it's not as strong as it used to be. But that was a good.
Well, because it was a distinct sound.
Yes,
right, as you say. Like I loved Hall & Oates, who are a Philadelphia group. Yeah. Okay,
great Blue Eyed Soul.
Yeah, you know what? Great way to put it. And Jim Croce was that great songwriter who died. You know, he died at age, I think, 28. Like so damn
much
young.
Too young. Yeah.
Yeah, but all those groups that you said, the Spinners, the Stylistics, Archie Bell and the Drells, Harold Melvin, the Blue Notes, all those, it was a sound. It was a movement. And by the way, what I didn't know, Rick, is that not only did you have a career playing it, or, you know, being part of it, but you actually were in the forefront that you're a singer. Let's take a listen.
Chicago, Chicago, hey! It's my kind of town when they lose. Cuando pierden, Chicago.
You like that, eh?
Was that the double doink?
That was No Señor. Yeah. That was our buddy Cody Parkey.
God, what a great day that was.
Yeah, they had to escort me out of Soldier Field. They wanted to kill me that day. Are you kidding me?
Well, we love you for it. So, yeah, so you did travel, and you told me yesterday, like, you had a story or two about...
I don't know how many I can, you know...
Yeah, I know there's some you can't tell. any you can share?
Look, you know, the first time I ever got to Philadelphia was courtesy of Gamble and Huff, and it was to watch the Sixers as part of the sweep. And I was a very, very young... Let me make this very clear. I was very young. I believe I was 19? And I was on the radio in New York and enjoying some success at the number one rated station in New York at the time. But there was no basketball success in New York. It still isn't. Me being an NBA fan at the time, there was a car that was sent to pick us up in Manhattan, me and the program director at the time, Frankie Crocker, courtesy of the good folks at TSOP and the Sound of Philadelphia. And we went down the turnpike to the Spectrum to watch the NBA Finals between the Sixers and the Los Angeles Lakers. Some of the greatest times of my life, okay, were connected to all that music that was produced out of Philadelphia. You know, there was plenty that went around, if you know what I mean, Glenn. There was plenty for everyone.
Yeah.
Back in those days. All right.
Yeah, it was a different era. Yeah.
Yeah. And when guys like Teddy Pendergrass would come up to Studio 54 in New York City, and you would see, you know, the
mob. I saw
that
movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you use your imagination from there. Okay.
What a great, rich life you've had, man.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you have hair back then?
Plenty of it.
Major hair?
Oh, yeah.
People don't play. I used to have, like, the back in the day, and we're going back in the day, what was affectionately known as the Jufro going.
Oh, I had that. Yeah. I had that whole Don Sutton look, you know.
All right, I'll make you a deal. Not publicly, but I will send you a picture of me with hair if you send me a picture of you.
I've got one right on my phone that
I'll Okay, send. Great. Yeah. All right, and the next break we'll do that, and we can compare notes.
Put them on Twitter.
I would be willing if Rick is willing.
I got no issue with it. It's all right. Part of the reality of my life, baby.
All right, hold on. Let's get Neil in the Northeast. You're on with Ricky and Glenn. Hey, Neil.
Hey. Well, you got to obviously put Dick Clark in it with American Bandstand in Philly, you know, too.
Of course.
And of course, Patti LaBelle, Eddie Fisher, Marian Anderson.
Oh, you're going into a whole different realm of it, but that's sure all valid.
Yeah. Yeah, some great, yeah, and like Ricky, like you said, Gamble and Huff, boy, they did some great songs, you know, like that, and Teddy Pendergast too, you know, like as well. So Philadelphia's been
legendary. It's legendary.
What?
Yep.
It's a legendary music town. All those names you just
mentioned. Oh yeah,
Neil, what do you got in the Phils?
Well, Ricky and Glenn, I wonder what you think the likelihood of them making a deal. Maybe Painter or Hop, you know, like for a pitcher, possibly an outfielder too, to maybe help them offensively.
Well, we talked about it earlier, and we didn't actually get into a pitcher, but I would not mind if they particularly went after a closer. I think you have two really good pitchers at the top of the rotation. If Gibson can find himself.
Yeah, well, Gibson has actually Ranger, the last two times.
Absolutely.
What he did
so,
yesterday against
yeah,
the
so I don't really trust the closer at this point. But Rick mentioned a very, I think, very smart idea for center field, and that is?
Michael A. Taylor from the Kansas City Royals.
Oh, yeah.
Neil seems underwhelmed.
Taylor has the speed and the athleticism and could steal some bases, too. So, I think offensively he would help them and defensively.
Yeah. You know, and remember, they don't have much in the cupboard to trade. If you're looking for a top-notch closer, who are you going to give up to get this closer? You're not going to steal one.
And now I know. I'm hoping there's somebody who's on a, you know, the one-year deal.
It's a seller's market this year. There's not a lot of pitching out there.
No, I know that. And there's a lot of teams that are in it, in part because they added the wild card team. And part, like, I was looking last week, like, you know, the Orioles have some guys you could go for, right? And then all of a sudden the Orioles win, what, 9 out of 10, and they're at 500?
They won 10 straight, and they're a 500 team, and they're only, what, a couple of games out of the last wild card.
Right, so they can't be sellers. So I think that it plays into the fact that if you are one of those sellers, the Royals you mentioned, the Nationals, you know, just one of those really bad teams, you will very much be able to, you know, drive the market.
Absolutely. I don't know if the Phillies have enough. I mean, you know, you're not going to give up someone that's in your everyday lineup. I keep hearing, well, Rhys Hoskins. No, you're not going to give up Rhys Hoskins. Number one, who's going to?
Well, the guy I told you earlier, Derek Hall. There's your guy.
You're not getting anything top notch for Derek Hall.
No,
it's not going to happen.
No. He's saying Derek Hall is going to play the position.
Oh, well,
No.
Let me just go. I agree with you, Glenn. No. No.
All right, Rick. You sent me a picture of yourself. Hold on, let me find.
I'm right in the middle there.
Yeah, I know. So here's the deal. You know what? You're a fine-looking young man there. Who are all those celebrities around you?
That would have been the staff of the radio station. That was the WBLS staff in the early 80s.
All right. So, Kyle, I'm going to find a picture of me and send it to you. And if you, Kyle, are able to kind of edit these down so it takes out most of the other people.
Sure.
And you can put them on Twitter. We don't need a Twitter poll because we're going to both look ridiculous.
Oh, come on. Do a Twitter poll.
That says what? Who wore it better?
Who's sexier? Yeah.
No. Like that ain't happening. Rick wins, okay? I concede on that one. But you can put them up and we can embarrass ourselves. I have a picture of me when I was 21 years old that I can send you with the big glasses and the whole shebang. I'll get that going. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, really nice project. Brian Westbrook, who's, you know, the terrific, terrific player for the Eagles, and Leslie Van Arsdale, who you and I both know through her
Absolutely.
TV work.
Pros
team,
pro.
Yeah, a pros pro. Team together to write a children's book. We're going to talk to them about that. Get Brian to talk a little bit about the Eagles next. Ricky Ricardo and Glenn Mack now. Two bald guys. There you go. A little more of the Delphonics as we go out.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.